Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Better Merchant podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen. Today, we are diving into a world that's very close to both our hearts. LARP.
Live action role-playing. Although those three words don't really capture what actually happens, do they?
Not at all. So LARP basically means you're not playing at a table, like in pen and paper role-playing. You're not sitting in front of a screen. You are your character. You wear the costume, you have the conversations, you physically experience the adventures. That's the fundamental difference.
If I compare this to video games, there you control a character. In pen and paper, you describe what your character does. But in LARP?
You just do it. You actually negotiate with the merchant. You actually fight. With safe foam weapons, of course. And when your character is tired, you're probably tired too.
That immediacy is truly something special. And what always fascinates me, the scene in Germany is huge. According to community surveys, we're talking about an estimated 25,000 to 60,000 active players.
And the conquest of Methodia, one of the largest LARP events, regularly attracts around 8,000 people, about 6,000 players and 2,000 NPCs. Drachenfest is in the same league. These are small cities that spring up.
Now, some of you are probably wondering, wait, isn't this the same as reenactment or cosplay? They also have costumes and...
Completely different approaches. So, reenactment is historically focused. It's about accuracy, about recreating real eras or events. No fantasy elements, no orcs, no magic. In LARP, on the other hand, fantasy, steampunk, post-apocalypse, horror, science fiction, anything goes.
And cosplay?
Cosplay is recreating an existing character from anime, movies, games. It's primarily about the visual presentation, about photoshoots, about conventions. In LARP, you typically create your own character and play an ongoing story. Though, depending on the event, there can also be pre-made roles available.
So, three related, yet very different worlds.
And LARP is about so much more than just a costume. The Battle Merchant blog post puts it well. It's an opportunity to explore different facets of your personality. Aspects that don't have a place in everyday life.
That's a fascinating point. You can discover sides of yourself that you'd never otherwise express. The shy person who suddenly...
plays a charismatic leader. Or the other way around. Someone who always carries responsibility at work slips into the role of a simple mercenary and hands over all the decisions for once.
And all of this within a community of like-minded people. That's perhaps what makes LARP so special, this unique community.
The community really is a core aspect. You meet people who share your passion for creativity, for stories, for craftsmanship. Whether introverted or extroverted, everyone finds their place in LARP.
And that's exactly what this episode is about. We look at what makes this fascination tick, from the elaborate costumes to the immersion that makes you completely forget you're actually standing in a field.
We'll talk about Methodia, about heavy armor that in extreme cases can reach a total load of 40 to 45 kilos, including equipment, and about why some people spend months preparing their costumes.
And whether LARP is really for everyone, or if there are barriers to entry.
The short answer, it's for everyone who's up for adventure. But the detailed answer, that's coming right now.
What has always fascinated me about LARP is this psychological dimension. We often talk about costumes and combat, but the real core goes deeper.
You mean the escapism?
Exactly, but not in the negative sense. Escapism often has this connotation of running away from reality. But with LARP, it's more of a, how should I put it, a healthy break. There's a lot happening psychologically. Research on flow and play shows that such experiences can reduce stress. Immersing yourself in a role is relaxing, and many people report a genuine feeling of happiness afterwards.
That explains why you often come home from a con feeling so recharged. Despite the lack of sleep, despite physical exhaustion, mentally you feel refreshed.
And then there's the aspect of self-discovery. LARP offers this controlled environment where you can try things that have no place in everyday life. You can test boundaries without fearing real consequences.
That's also so important for character development. When I create a new character, I always ask myself, what about this figure interests me? Often it's traits I'd like to have myself, or that I want to understand.
For example?
Well, I once played a very confident merchant woman. In real life, I was quite shy back then. But through this character, I could practice what it feels like to conduct negotiations, to hold firm on prices, to demand respect. And eventually, it transferred over.
That's exactly this therapeutic effect that researchers describe. LARP as a form of self-therapy. You discover untapped potential because within a protected framework you can
experiment. And the beautiful thing is, it works for every personality type.
True. Introverts and extroverts benefit in different ways.
For introverts, it's often liberating to have permission, through a costume or a mask, to come out of their shell. The character gives you protection. It's not you being loud and present. You're playing a role.
And extroverts get this intense social interaction, this emotional exchange that they need. The immersive nature of LARP enhances both stress relief and developing empathy.
Which brings me to Hannah.
The story from the Battle Merchant blog?
Hannah is now a full-time musician, and she discovered her passion for music through LARP. Just imagine, someone finds their career, their calling, because they started making music at a LARP event.
That shows how transformative these experiences can
be. Hannah probably started as a player, maybe played a bard, sang songs by the campfire, and suddenly you realize, this is me. This is what I want to do.
This controlled environment we talked about, it gives you the freedom to try things without your entire identity being at stake. If it doesn't work out, it was the character, not you.
Oh, that's a good point. That takes so much pressure off.
And if it does work, like with Hannah, then you know, this is real. This is mine.
What I also find important, it's not just about discovering new skills. Sometimes it's about understanding sides of yourself that you might even reject. A friendly person who plays a villain for once, they learn something about manipulation, about power, about the darker aspects of human nature.
Without anyone actually getting hurt.
Exactly. And afterwards you can reflect on that experience. Was it satisfying? Unsettling? Both reactions are valuable.
By the way, that's also why safety tools have become so important in the LARP scene. For emotionally demanding scenes, you need clear agreements to keep things healthy.
The community really looks out for each other. There are rituals after intense games, discussion circles where you can process what you've experienced.
LARP is simply more than dressing up and fighting. It's personal growth with sword and cloak.
When we talk about LARP, there's one topic we can't avoid. The costumes. The garb. For many, this is the most time-consuming part of the hobby, and often the most rewarding.
How much time typically goes into it?
It varies enormously. For a simple starter outfit, shirt, trousers, belt, you can manage it in a weekend if you can sew. But a really detailed costume? We're quickly talking about several months of work. Sometimes half a year.
Half a year for a costume?
If you make everything yourself, yes. Sewing the basic garments, leatherwork for belts and pouches, embroidery, decorations, fitting armor pieces, crafting accessories, it all adds up. And then you want everything to match, to tell a story.
And that's the point that always impresses me. These LARP costumes need to be convincing up close while also functioning for several days. This combination of detail and practicality.
That's a real challenge. In film productions, everything is optimized for the camera. Costumes need to work from 5 meters away. In LARP, you're standing right next to people. You see every seam, every button, every decoration. And that for several days, in all weather conditions.
So everything not only has to look good, but also...
Hold up. Practicality is huge. You might wear that thing for 72 hours straight. You sleep in it, fight in it, sit by the campfire. It has to work.
What are the typical materials?
For the base layers, shirts, undergarments, linen is the classic choice. Breathable, durable, looks authentic. Cotton works too. It's cheaper, but you sweat faster. Over that, wool for warmer layers. And for more elaborate garments, nobles, mages, those kinds of characters, velvet, silk, brocade come into play.
So natural materials are preferred?
For the look, definitely. Natural fibers look more authentic and are more comfortable to wear. Though high-quality blended fabrics can work well too. With armor, of course, it's different. That's about stability and safety. But for fabrics, natural fibers are the preferred standard.
The photo shoots before events, they...
are a whole chapter of their own. They serve multiple purposes. First, you test the costume under real conditions. Does everything fit? Is anything chafing? Is there still a detail missing?
That's the practical side.
And then there's the emotional side. Through these shoots, you visually identify with your character. You see yourself in the role. That's sometimes the moment when a costume truly becomes a character.
The character becomes real.
You learn how the character moves, how they stand, what expression they have. That carries over into the game. And of course, the photos are memories. Some people have entire albums of their characters spanning years.
What's it like with bought versus handmade equipment? Are there hierarchies in the scene?
Less than you'd think. Sure, there's respect for handwork. When someone has sewn, cast, forged everything themselves, impressive. But in the end, it's the overall picture that counts. A well-assembled outfit from bought pieces can be just as effective as something completely handmade.
The main thing is that it tells a story.
The character needs to be coherent. A beggar with perfectly clean clothes doesn't work, no matter how expensive the fabric was. A mercenary needs signs of wear. A healer might have herb pouches on their belt. These details make the difference.
Authenticity in terms of the character, not necessarily historical accuracy.
And that underscores the point from earlier. LARP is not reenactment. Historical accuracy is optional. Many work with historical inspiration, but you're not bound to sources. Your elven ranger can wear cuts that never existed, as long as it fits the world.
That also gives you freedom.
Enormous freedom. And yet, people still put hundreds of hours into their garb. Not because they have to, but because the creation is part of the experience. The crafting, sewing, tinkering. For many, that's just as much part of the hobby as the actual game.
When we talk about LARP worlds, there's no way around Mythodia. This fantasy universe has been played in for over two decades, one of the largest and longest-running continuous game worlds in Europe, with events of up to 8,000 participants.
How does something like that even come about? A world that lasts 20 years?
It's a fascinating process. Usually, it starts with a group of organizers with a vision. They create the foundations, geography, peoples, conflicts, gods. But then something unique happens. The players themselves shape the story further. Every event, every decision leaves its mark.
That's the difference from a video game or a novel. The story isn't set in stone. If your character orchestrates a political coup and succeeds, that changes the world for everyone.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
Mythodia offers the complete spectrum of characters. You can play the shining hero who saves villages, or the scheming villain in the background, or someone in between, someone who still has to find their own morality.
These shades of grey are often the most interesting characters.
What always impresses me about Mythodia, the world is so well thought out, so rich in detail, that you can truly immerse yourself. That feeling when you wake up in the morning and for a moment forget that you're not actually a...
Knight of the Western Realm. Yes, I know that feeling. The boundaries between game and reality blur.
And that's exactly what people put up with quite a lot for. Which brings us to the physical side.
Immersion comes at a price. Or rather, a weight.
The Battle Merchant blog says that typical LARP armor weighs around 15 to 30 kilos. But in extreme cases, it can be up to 45 kilos.
45 kilos. That's more than half of me.
Do you know what's really interesting about that? Historical plate armor was often lighter. An actual field armor from the 15th century weighed around 20 to 30 kilos.
Exactly. That surprises a lot of people. We always imagine historical armor as incredibly heavy, when actually it was quite cleverly constructed.
With some setups, it can actually be heavier. Historical armor was custom made, the weight perfectly distributed. Knights were trained from childhood. In LARP, you sometimes wear standard sizes that don't fit optimally. Add foam weapons that also have weight, belt pouches, water bladders.
And then you run around a site for 3 days in that, in summer heat. Imagine, 35 degrees in the shade, the sun beating down on the metal.
And you have to function in a battle scene. That requires real physical preparation.
Many players train specifically for this. Endurance, strength, but most importantly, wearing their own armor. You get used to it. The body adapts.
That's also why beginners shouldn't start with 45 kilos right away.
Definitely not. For starting out, light equipment is perfectly fine. A padded gambeson, maybe some light leather elements, a helmet if anything. The most important thing is that you can move, that you're having fun.
The heavy armor comes with experience. When you know how your body reacts, when you've internalized the movement patterns.
And honestly, the dedication behind these heavy armors is impressive. This isn't a casual hobby anymore. These are athletes in steel attire.
Athletes who fight dragons.
Or undead. Or political intrigues. Sometimes all at once.
And it's precisely this combination, the physical exertion, the mental immersion, the emotional investment, that dissolves the boundaries between game and reality. You're not playing an exhausted warrior after battle anymore. You are exhausted. Genuinely.
That's immersion at a level that no other medium can offer. What ultimately makes LARP special isn't the equipment, not the costumes, not even the worlds, as fascinating as they are.
It's the community.
A community of people who share their passion for fantasy, for creativity, for stories. That creates bonds. You come to an event and meet people who have the same enthusiasm as you, who understand why you spend months sewing a costume, who find it perfectly normal to discuss the political situation in Methodia around the campfire.
And the interesting thing is, this community is remarkably inclusive. There's room for everyone.
We've already talked about how different people benefit from it. Introverts find protection in their role to flourish, while extroverts find an outlet for their energy. It's precisely this transformative nature that allows people to break out of their everyday roles.
That reminds me of Hannah, the musician who discovered her
passion through LARP. That's exactly this transformative element. She found something in herself that had no outlet before.
That underscores the therapeutic aspect we mentioned. It's essentially a form of self-discovery. You can express yourself in ways that differ from your usual behavior. Show sides of yourself that everyday life has no room for.
And all of this in an environment where you're not judged, where creativity is valued, where it's okay to be different.
How do you actually find your way in when you're new?
The easiest way? Visit local cons. Many events are explicitly beginner-friendly. You don't have to show up with the perfect gear. A simple costume, an open mind, maybe the willingness to play an NPC. That's enough.
Online forums and social media groups are also good starting points. You'll find like-minded people in your area there. Get tips for your first events.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. The scene is incredibly helpful. Everyone was a beginner once. Everyone knows what it's like to stand nervously before their first con.
So, if you've listened this far and you're thinking, that sounds interesting, that could be something for me,
then give it a try. The first step is often the hardest, but it's worth it.
LARP is more than a hobby. It's a way to escape everyday life and dive into a world where anything is possible. Where you can be a hero. Or a villain. Or something in between.
Where you can just be yourself. A different version of yourself. A new side.
And that's perhaps the most valuable thing about it.
If you want to learn more about LARP or are interested in equipment, check out battlemerchant.com. There you'll find not only everything from garb to foam weapons, but also plenty of other exciting topics in the blog about medieval history, fantasy, and role-playing.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope we could give you an insight into this fascinating world.
Until next time, and maybe we'll see you at a con.
Take care.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your sword sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.